Guru Nation, thank you for checking out another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me. If you're new, welcome. Thank you so much. Text the word guru right now to 31996. You will not be disappointed. I have a book, The Comprehensive Guide to Clinical Research. It's on Amazon in paperback, on Kindle. It's on Audible as well. The audiobook is fantastic. The Comprehensive Guide to Clinical Research. Check it out. I also have a YouTube channel. Check it out. I have a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Check it out. We have a startup CRO. We have a bunch of sites across the country. We help people become clinical researchers. We help sites get more studies, negotiate their budgets, run their businesses better. We do everything. We are even a CRO. We help sponsors get their drugs to market quicker. And we're starting to dabble in some sponsor side stuff. So stay tuned. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show.
Good. Okay, so now we're going to talk about two things that are related.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed their lunch.
Yeah, sorry. Hopefully everyone enjoyed their lunch. We have what? Cake. We're going to have cake soon.
Yep.
So anyways, we're going to talk a little bit right now before we get into more site operations and training, which we're going to do probably next. We're going to talk about marketing, promoting yourself. It doesn't matter if you're a site, an individual. You're going to learn from an SEO expert here. And then when it comes to patient recruitment, if you're a CRO, sponsor, vendor, especially a site, okay, you're going to learn from a patient recruiter who is local. You're in Orange County, right?
Used to be. Now I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're in LA. Okay.
Still local.
So like 4 years ago, you stopped by one of my sites and talked to me about recruiting.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, whatever. Yeah, everyone wants to start a huge recruiting company. But you actually did.
And everybody thinks they can, too.
Everyone thinks they can.
Got it.
We're getting there.
So we're going to get into that.
Successful is a bold word, but we're getting there. It's working out.
You're still doing it 5 years later, which says a lot.
Yeah.
That's successful. Okay, so Amir, introduce yourself first, because you started out in data management for Quintel.
Yeah.
Right? They're now called IQVIA, but everyone still calls them Quintel.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you explain kind of your background, how you got started, and then why you started your new company?
Thank you very much, Dan. I'm coming from Chicago just for this conference, and I started my career as a data management in started at Quintel, in Quintel. Then from there, I became an IT expert. I launched my company in 2012 as a SEO company as well as a packaging company. So from there, we have have evolved different sites as well as launched new sites. So that's become very important for all the clinical trials research industry. So this will bring the new ideas, and we launched a new site, Clinical Scoop, where we are providing all the clinical trial services to sites, PIs, for recruitment, and for the new patient recruitment. Mm-hmm. So all these services we are providing there.
And SEO is going to be a big part of it. So before we get into the scoop, because we're going to talk about that, and actually we're going to see who wants to be in the magazine that we have coming up, and we're going to actually launch a magazine with Amir, the Clinical Scoop. Most people, me included, we don't rank well SEO-wise. Like when somebody searches for a research site in a specific city, or a company, like you were saying, some of the vendors here, they don't rank, right? What are they doing wrong? Like, what do they need to do? What are some things, obviously they need to hire professionals, but what are some things they can do themselves?
So, basically, SEO means search engine optimization. This is the way you can brand your company, and then you can get awareness, as well as you can get more traffic to your site. So there is on-site and off-page and on-page SEO. they need to be performed on your site. So you will get a more traffic, but if it is not the right way, you're not going to get any traffic. Even you get a, you have a 100 of articles, 100 of YouTube posted onto your site and relevant to your site, you're not going to get anything. So in order to get the right traffic and right SEO done to your site, then you will be getting a traffic, patient, as well as anything you want, like, you know, related to your site.
So why is it important to rank high? I mean, why do I want to be the first one to come up with my research site?
The reason for that is somebody searching online, for example, Google clinical research. So if you are not in the first page, so the people will not see you. And then, but if you are in the first page, so keyword ranking will give a lot of benefit. So you are not only local, you are talking about globally. So there are 10,000 or 50,000 searches every month. So in local, how many people you can find it, or like, you know, you are looking something specific for certain areas, so there is a hundred or millions of searches every month on Google, Yahoo, Bing, Facebook, LinkedIn. So where, from where if you are ranked, then everybody will connect you. That's why the companies are paying too much money for the CPC, cost per click. So there are two ways. Either you will advertise with Google, or either and pay to them, or do the organic SEO.
So what are some things, like let's say I'm a site in Costa Mesa, okay? How would I rank when somebody searches clinical research Costa Mesa? Like, what can I do on my page right now to rank a little higher?
In order to do that, SEO, first we have to see the full structure, and then we're going to choose some keywords. So we make write your site programmatically, and after then we will write down, we do the SEO for you, and then a certain period of time you will start ranking. Once you start ranking, then you will get a traffic, the patient, the customers, and everybody else is going to reach you out.
The most important, the patients,
yeah,
for most sites. And then for individuals, what should they rank? Like if somebody wants to be a consultant or is a consultant, you know, they're looking more globally, or at least nationally, not so much local. So what should they be doing besides LinkedIn and those kind of things, but when it comes to SEO?
So we're going to build up the profile for them in our site clinical school, and then we optimize to they will show up in the local area. So somebody is looking for CRA, so CRA jobs, so they need to hire these candidates. So once they are ranked, it will be some they will reach out directly to the these candidates. And their possibility of getting hired or getting a call or getting the interview is much more higher as compared to the without doing anything. And second, we also have a recruitment agency where we help them to find the jobs, and which is under the clinical school. So we have a one section if somebody wanted to looking for a job, so we create the a profile for them, and then they upload their resume, and we optimize that, and then we give them the opportunity to write down the research articles. With their research article, we publish on different sites, and must be unique. If it is not unique or not new research, we reject these articles and blogs. So once they have and with the research background, their possibility of hiring is much more higher as compared to the without doing just trying to hunt jobs, or you know, finding in the local area their job is going to be very hard.
One of the most important things, and then we're going to get to Andrew and then come back at the end with the scoop, if for sites or anybody looking to rank on Google, is to write blog posts. If you can do videos, but not everyone wants to do that, but blog posts, or maybe like an audio and then have someone transcribe what you said into an article, you will rank, because you will then have people, hopefully, if it's good, it has to be good, they will share the article now you're getting links back to your site, which most research sites don't have almost any links pointing back to them because there's nothing really interesting about their website. It's just a website. But if it becomes a resource for whomever you're trying to target, whether it's patients, whether it's sponsors, which is a really tough one to do, but nobody's doing it, especially for the patients, and then if you write local stories on your site, you're going to get naturally get these links back. And one of the things we're trying to do with our startup, the Clinical Scoop, is to do this for the sites, for the CROs, for the vendors, for the individuals, so that you're going to have your own homepage, your own whatever it is, like dansferro.com, and then from the Scoop, we will have these articles for you linking back to your site. The idea is you're going to rank for your keywords in your area or your expertise. Correct?
That is correct. So that way you will get exposure, and then once you have your profile, that is easy to manage and easy to send to the rest of organization. And not only that, we're going to have a different organization, CROs and pharmaceutical companies, they are coming to recruit to our website. So they will also have exposure, and then these are the service which we're going to provide is the screening. So we're going to screen some of the job candidates. They wanted to get hired, so we screen from expert that they are capable of doing the job. So we're going to say these are screened people. That way they will have a more better chances to get the recruitment and get the job.
Yeah, and we have a recruiter here. We're going to talk to her next or after next. But let's get into Andrew's stuff. Okay. No, he's not the recruiter.
There's a job recruiter, right?
He's a patient recruiter. You're right. So Andrew, tell us, what you're doing.
Yeah, I would love to. So, hello everyone. My name is Andrew Stevens. Currently, we are located in Los Angeles. The company that I am the actual director of business development for is Apollo Research Group, and we help with patient recruitment for clinical trials. As Dan has told you, I met up with him a couple years ago. I was cleanly shaven, much baby.
That's what I didn't recognize.
Yeah, I looked, if you can believe it, younger than I look right now.
I believe that.
So, yeah, see? But no, we realized there was a need in the market for this space just because I've been in the clinical research field for 6+ years. I worked at Dana-Farber as a clinical research coordinator for 2 years, moved out to San Diego, was there working at a CRO, moved back to Irvine, which is when around the time I met Dan, and we saw this opportunity where I was working at the CRO, I was in a meeting one day, and they brought up the fact, our sites aren't recruiting, what can we do to fuel it? Like, how can we make it better? And at the time, my business partners, they just started their own marketing company. They were doing a lot of fitness clients, athletes, gyms, small business owners. And I saw that what they were actually doing was working. They were getting leads. They were actually able to reach people at a cost-effective price. And I knew that at the time with these clinical research trials, everyone was still doing TV, radio, newspaper ads, just very, traditional ways of advertising, which still work. But when you have a limited budget, at what price is it worth it, right? And what I saw was an opportunity to start advertising with social media. With Facebook and Instagram, you can advertise anything as low as $5 a day spent. We always recommend using at least 15 to 20 to really test your data and see.
Is that something
if the audience is your work?
Is Facebook ads something someone can do on their own? Like,
honestly, I'm going to be completely honest with you. You can absolutely do it on your own. You can set it up yourself. Watch a couple of YouTube videos. You'll be able to figure it out. The only difficult part is this. It's the same way as I would never go into a practice and be like, let me see this patient. I'm a doctor. It's the same thing. When you have expertise in this space, things just tend to work better. As you've been working and building your careers your entire lives, you understand, you become more knowledgeable, you have more value to a company. And it's the same thing with marketing. Anybody can run a Facebook ad, Instagram ad. It's extremely simple and easy to set up, but not everybody can run it successfully. And the reason for that is, you know, there's certain things in place that only marketers, people that are actually in the trenches every single day, will understand. You won't understand how to scale a campaign. You won't understand that, you know, just selecting these random keywords for targeting isn't necessarily the audience you want to go for. Like, if we're running a dermatology study, sure, we can select keywords to target, like, dermatology, eczema, certain lotions, but I'm going to tell you, it might work for a week or two, you might get a couple leads, but it's going to die off. And that's really the biggest problem I think that sites run into with Facebook and Instagram ads is there's, and it's not to anyone's fault, right? You just aren't in the space. There's little knowledge known about how actually Facebook campaigns are ran. And it doesn't start off like I'm spending $10 a day. This is our first week running this campaign. That $10 a day the first week is gonna work completely different than the same $10 per week you're spending 3 months from now. Because now you have an optimized campaign. Something called your Facebook pixel is more, it's more complete. It knows what patients to actually search for. These things take time and it takes a lot of testing. You can't just target one group of people and expect it to work out. Like for one of our clients in Florida, we're running an eczema campaign, but within this campaign, there's three different ad sets. Within those three ad sets, there's four different copies and creatives. We're testing multiple images, multiple copies, so multiple creatives.
What's an ad set in this context?
So an ad set would be best described as like, so you have your campaign. The campaign is like what everything is under. So you're running an eczema campaign, you're gonna have all your different ad sets. The ad sets are like subsets, right? So an ad set one, it could be like we're targeting people that, you know, are interested in lotions and cosmetics. Ad set two could be salons and day spas. Ad set three could be, you know, just more generalizable terms like dermatology and stuff like that. And that's really what an ad set breaks down to. It's basically, it's within the same campaign because it's the way Facebook works is you set a budget. And the way it would work, if you have three ad sets, you're going to divide that budget into three. It's going to see which ad set performs the best. And then through that, it determines which creatives within those ad sets work the best.
Okay. Yeah.
So you understand where to best use your money.
Do these things require IRB approval?
Yeah. Everything, you know, if
you
we're
help sites with that?
Yeah. We do everything. We'll do the content creation for you. We do the copy, the creative of the images. We put everything into a zip file that's very organized for IRB to view. And that's really where I come in because I worked at a CRO. I've been in clinical research for 6+ years. So I understand, you know, making it very clean and easy to read, especially when you have version updates and stuff like that. You got to make sure everything is very systematic. That way, if anyone comes to look at your paperwork, it's good to go.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest advantages, I think, of, you know, not to boast, but of working with us is that I understand clinical research, which helps a lot, and my partners are experts in marketing. So it's not like you have a bunch of marketers just trying to do a clinical trial, and you don't have a bunch of people that are researchers just trying to do marketing. You have a nice, healthy mix, and I think that's really what helps it mesh very well together.
So what's a good metric for a site? Let's say for every $500 you spend on Facebook, and we can't say who's going to qualify because studies are complex now, but
yeah, it's impossible.
Coming to the office to screen, or at least call, right? Like how many leads is reasonable if you're doing a fairly good job to expect for, let's say, every $500 you spend?
And I would assume it's variance between...
Oh, it's variance, yeah, of course, and it's variance based off your location, right? The site in Miami is going to work completely different than a site in Kentucky. There's just way more people, you know? And one of the cool things with Facebook is we can actually look at these audience insights. We can look up your location and determine in your location within a 25-mile radius, there are X amount of 100,000 people, there are a million people. So you really get an understanding of like in this subcategory that I'm trying to search for, you can set the keywords, you understand, all right, we'll be able to reach 400,000 people potentially by running this campaign.
So I'd like to expand on this question. Now, I'm fairly frugal. I don't like to spend my money.
Yeah, of course. I don't.
So oftentimes you have an advertising budget, right?
Yeah.
Provided by the sponsor. Can I utilize that with your company?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really where I saw the opportunities because I worked at a CRO. I understood advertising budgets. I mean, like,
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but for most people that don't know, a site generally has a $5,000, $2,500 to $5,000.
So what can I expect results-wise for my $5,000 budget from your company?
Like I said, everything is based upon your area, but what I will say is this. We like and tend to work with people that have larger populations. We'll let you know right off the bat what your population is. We're not trying to be like, oh yeah, you have 40,000 people we can reach. Like, let's run it, we'll get you 30 leads this month. We're gonna be dead honest with you. We run off transparency, that's my biggest thing. But to really just answer your question.
Okay, Orange County, right? Costa Mesa, $5,000 budget for schizophrenia.
You're giving them a hard
time. See, I don't know. I can't answer that just because I've never been in schizophrenia. But what I can tell you
for indication you're aware of.
Eczema or psoriasis, in Tampa, we ran a 3.5 month campaign. I believe they were spending $600 a month. And within 3.5 months, we got them 111 leads.
Wow.
16 people actually scheduled an appointment. I think out of the 16, like six were recruited.
What works best? Is it article, video? Image, like what works best?
This is one of the hardest things for us that we're trying to figure out is with the IRB, it's just super painful to get certain things approved. With Facebook and Instagram ads, it's very interesting because your copy and your creative should be directly correlated to your target audience, right? If I'm targeting people that do yoga, I would like it if my creative had somebody holding a yoga mat and they had psoriasis on their arm. You know, making it relative, because when they see that content, they're gonna stop. They're gonna read the copy, then they might be interested and be like, oh, I love yoga and I have psoriasis, this is perfect. But I kind of lost track of myself.
IRB.
Okay.
Now, you don't always need that, right? We'll ask the IRB expert later. But from what I understand,
yeah.
Yeah, she'll be next. But so if you're advertising for your own site,
yeah,
like, hey, we are Global Clinical Trials.
Yeah.
We have studies for Alzheimer's, depression, osteoarthritis, schizophrenia. Okay. And we can split that into like four different things.
That's what you should do.
To where it's just each vertical, but
that's
we don't need to get IRB approval if it's just advertising our site.
See, that's what I always recommend. I'm recommending this more and more to sites that you do not advertise for a specific clinical trial if you can avoid it.
Yes.
If you can avoid or figure out a very smart way to still utilize your advertising budget from the sponsor.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But to spend it on your own site and just getting generalizable leads, I promise you your dollar, every dollar you spend on advertising will go much, much further than it will if you do it within a clinical trial. Because it really just comes down to what I said earlier. If you're using creatives that aren't directly correlated to your audience, the relevance score on the ad, which it determines, you know, how well your ad resonates with that audience, you know, it's going to be very low, which means it's going to get shown to less and less people.
So how's that presented to a sponsor if I want to get funding through that sponsor?
Honestly, we still make it work.
Yeah.
We still make it work out. You know, we're still getting leads and we're doing it in a responsible manner where we're looking at these metrics and determining which campaigns are working the best and which ones are working the slowest. All I can say to my sites, and I tell them this very transparently, is listen, if we were spending your $800 a month on advertising, on just getting generalized leads, and then you can bring them in your office, not only can we give them a good offer to actually bring them in, but on top of that, you can see if they're eligible to be a patient at your office, if they're eligible for this clinical trial, or maybe another one.
Yeah.
See, and if you're using your own funds, I highly suggest doing that because it is the smartest way to advertise. It's outside of the scope of the IRB, and that's not to say you're going to do anything unethical. It's just if you want to have full control over how you're spending your money, it's just what you have to do.
Yeah. Try not to use your own funds, though. They are willing to give you advertising money. I haven't done this for patients, but what works well for me and the stuff that we have is because I do videos and podcasts and write articles, I know what is more popular, like what piece of content resonates better. Like, and that doesn't cost me anything, I just create the content. But after viewing like, let's say five videos or five articles, I'll know which one performs best. So then I run an ad on that So now I throw the money into like a strategic piece of content. I think that can work for patient recruitment too. And I think that like integrates what Amir does with SEO with what you do with the ad spend.
Yeah, no, 100%. Everything's relative.
Yeah, it's very important that we should write the ad in a proper way. Otherwise, if our building blocks is not correct, then we're going to spend more money and you guys want to go out of the budget. Like, by myself, I'm spending every month $25,000 to $30,000 just on the AdWords. But we have done very systematic way, so we are getting every day 2,500 to 3,000 clicks to come to our website. And we have a system that we can track who is coming to our website. And then I'm competing with a billion-dollar company. So we are in the first phase of Google on more than 6,000 keywords.
When I first met Dan, I didn't know how to run a Facebook ad. Now I've worked so close with my marketing partners, like I can set up the entire campaign myself. So
let's get into your guys' career a little bit. So you started, you said, at Dana-Farber.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Like, what? Give us a background into how you got into that, and then what made you switch to recruit? Like, what did you see?
Yeah.
Is
so
it similar to Amir, and why he left Quintel to do his own EDC stuff.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm going to give you the very long version, but I hope everyone enjoys it. So in college, I mean, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I started as a pharmacy student, worked at a pharmacy.
Oh, absolutely. Pharmacy student.
No offense, I hated pharmacy. It wasn't for me. I worked at CVS for 5 months, and I was like, I'm out. So I go back to school, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, and I take this elective, and it's clinical research. I end up really liking the class, really liking the teacher. And towards the end of the semester, she tells me, you know, we have this new program opening up, Master's in Clinical Research. Like, I'd like you to be a part of it.
Where was this?
Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences in Boston.
Okay.
One of the longest names in the history of
what's the mascot?
Robin?
What's the mascot?
A cardinal.
Ah.
A cardinal. Yeah, his name was Red. Yeah, pretty
short mascot name, long.
Yeah, school name. But anyways, you know, I got into the industry that way, and I started volunteering at an orthopedic hospital for a couple months until I got my real first position at Dana-Farber, where I was doing phase one clinical research for cancer medications as a study coordinator. So I worked. It was just insane, the amount of work and adverse events and just things you'd have to submit to the IRB constantly.
There you hear.
Deviations, and you know how it goes. But I ended up moving just because it was too cold. Couldn't do the East Coast anymore. Had to move to sunny California while I could. And I got my first position at a CRO doing, it was dermatology. I really liked the practice, but you know, I always kind of felt for myself like, I knew I could do healthcare, but I always felt like deep down, like being within the actual healthcare part of it, like wasn't really for me. I wanted to like kind of figure out solutions to problem within the healthcare industry that I think that people were overlooking, you know, and with clinical trials, there's just so much room to do that because number one, I think it's such an overlooked industry in the first place. Like healthcare as a whole is overlooked. Never mind clinical trials. So, you know, you have the sites that are working on everything all day, and you have the pharmaceutical companies, which are usually jamming things down your throat.
And now the biggest stakeholder is going to be all the vendors.
Yeah.
By 2025, like and 64% of revenue is going to go to vendors.
Yeah, I believe it because, you know, we're actually taking the time to look at what's going on between these processes with clinical trials. I was telling somebody earlier, like, think about how much things have to be done for a clinical trial. Imagine if you can make every single thing just 1% more efficient. You'd be finishing that trial 2 years earlier and a couple $1 million probably less in debt or owed to whoever it is you owe that money to.
Yeah, and Amir, because your story is kind of similar, like they run parallel. So Quint Health, explain. What were you doing at Quint Health?
Yeah, I was a sales programmer in Quint Health and data management. From there, I moved to the IT. I say it's a little bit, you know, too much thing for me, and I didn't like it much in the beginning. Then I joined the IT because I have a master's degree in computer science and I have a master's degree in economics. So I worked for AT&T, and then from AT&T I joined different other organization, worked as a platinum consultant. Then I launched my own site in packaging in 2012. I started with $5,000 and then I make it $10 million site company within 5 to 6 years, 7 years. That is actually all I did is from SEO point of view, I brand my company, and now I have six companies which I am the owner of these companies, and they are all doing good. I learned from the beginning what exactly is required to in the ad development, SEO and branding. Then I trained many people here as well as overseas, and now we are competing with the companies. They are spending millions of dollars or maybe more than a per month on their advertisement budget. So we are right next to them with a minimum budget. So because we brand properly our company, and now we have right now I have 300 employees. So they are working, and then they are helping me out for this cause, and then we are keep moving forward.
You're starting your own EDC company now.
Yes.
Because we discovered that there's a funny thing that happens in the industry. One of the cheapest EDC vendor for a simple study is like quotes you $80,000 for like three data points. So there's a huge segment of people like Dr. Hazen over here, all these small, really small biotechs that still need to do studies. They have a budget for EDC, they need it, but they don't want to pay $80,000. So you're creating a low cost solution, EDC. Explain that a little bit.
Yes, as I explained to you guys, I have a background in IT. So when I see the EDC system, as well as I see a pain point when I was working for Quintiles, so we decided to launch the EDC system. And right now we have a very good team, and we are very confident that we can launch in within a 1 year. So that is our planning. Right now we are designing, and we are getting the input from our different PIs that what is your pain point? What should be the better for you guys that if you build up the EDC system that is compliant with the HIPAA, so we can provide to the industry. So we are in a designing phase right now. And after that, we will start building it, and hopefully next year, we're going to launch the very cost-effective EDC system for the pharmaceutical for clinical trials.
Thank you, Amir. So, Andrew, as we wrap up now, give them a call to action. Give them like one, like if, let's say you're a site looking for patients, one thing they can do right now for free to boost their recruitment efforts, and then give a call to action if they want to, you know, speak with you about this.
Yeah, honestly, I'll give you a couple things you can do today to boost your recruitment efforts. One thing I would highly suggest is if you're interested in Facebook ads and you want to give it a shot yourself, give it a shot. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's in, I don't know if it's the right word, invaluable asset to have as a business owner,
yes.
I think.
And business.facebook.com, not facebook.com.
Yeah, business.facebook.com.
Business.facebook.com.
I learned that the hard way too.
I did too. You wasted so much money on it.
Yeah, I wasted a lot of money before I realized that one. Luckily, they were all personal ads. So
yeah.
But yeah, just do that. Other things is really start to figure out how you can engage with your audience in a meaningful manner on social media. You don't have to be running ads to get noticed. One thing I think that a lot of people do wrong on social media, and you may have heard it before, is you're not offering the patients any value. Like, one big thing I want to try doing, and we have to step out of the scope of the clinical trial IRB world, is I want to send people to, you know, a landing page where it's an article that the actual doctor at the site wrote that gives them value about the five foods they shouldn't eat if they have eczema, or that, you know, five foods to avoid eczema flare-ups. You know, and within that, you have a section where it's like, join a clinical trial, like check out local clinical trials near you. You know, try to be creative. Like, you can offer these things to your audience on your Facebook page for free. You don't have to pay anything to post it.
You don't have to write. You can do videos too. Yeah. Right? Talk about depression.
Mm-hmm.
Have an intern do it if you don't want to do it. Do a podcast. Do have them convert the podcast to an article. And mm-hmm. then if they want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
You can easily just come meet me up after this, but we're also, you can just search ApolloResearchGroup.com. And then we help with patient recruitment. That's really the best way to reach me. If anyone has any questions, just feel free to come up and ask me. Just be a little chit-chat, no promises, no obligations. Just come up, say hi, and we'll talk.
And as far as our startup, The Clinical Scoop, we're very excited about that. So we encourage you to all do your own SEO, write your articles, do everything you just heard. But if you want us, in addition to that, to do it, we will have like the new CenterWatch type of thing where you're going to have your profile, but not just have a profile. We're actually going to create content around your profile, do the SEO for you. Whether even this works for individuals too. If you're just an individual, you should have your own full name as a domain name, .com or .net, whatever you can get, and then have SEO there. Start ranking for the things you want to rank for and the opportunities that you want to achieve. And we're launching a magazine too, Clinical Scoop Magazine. So anyone that's here, talk to Amir. We're going to do maybe next week or the week after a Skype interview. If we have time, we can even do it today, a video interview for your profile. And then we're going to write a feature on you or your company in our magazine for free. You don't need to pay anything. We'll do it for free.
Exactly.
You'll get the magazine. If you want to join as a profile, talk to Amir. And we don't have a cover. We don't have a cover for the magazine.
We need
the cover. We're just gonna do a selfie right now with everyone in the back. So that will be the first cover. And then hopefully everybody wants to be in the magazine. So let's do it. I don't know how we're gonna do this. Find out, how do we do this? Is it easier if you do it?
So hey everybody, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, Dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.